I woke up several days ago with this verse just pounding in my spirit. And as I went to prayer, just seeking the Lord, I so strongly felt this direction for the service tonight, and already thus far in the worship, there's just been confirmation after confirmation of what the Lord is wanting us to hear tonight. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 9. The book of Luke, chapter number 9, and verse 62. Luke, chapter 9, and verse 62. When you have it, stand with me, if you would, in honor of the word. Thank you so much. Amen. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I want to read that verse again. Jesus said unto him, "No man, no person, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I want to preach to us tonight, if the Lord would help me, on where you're looking is where you're living. Where you're looking is where you're living. Would you pray with me tonight? The Lord is wanting to really work in hearts and lives. Would you pray that all of this would bring us to a place at the altar? Would you join me in prayer tonight? Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful to be able to preach your word, and the burden that you've placed on my heart, Lord, is real. It's tangible. Lord, you know the souls that are here in this house and those that are going to be listening online and maybe even watching this on video. You see us, Lord, as we really are. Nothing is hidden from your eyes. And so I'm asking that your living word would go forth and that you would minister in a way that only you can. I pray that our hearts would be humbled in your presence. And that all of the facade and all of the hardness and all of the things that we like to put up, Lord, in the way of others to be able to see who we really are, I pray those things would be brought down right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, for an honest response in the altars. And Lord, that your spirit would minister tonight in a triumphant way. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your word, Lord. In your name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. Where you're looking is where you're living. If you read the context of the 9th chapter of Luke, in the very beginning, verses 1 and 2, Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and to preach and to minister for the kingdom of God. He called his disciples together. Verse 1, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He knew that the kingdom of God was going to be built upon the backs of men and women who followed after his word and lived lives of obedience. He gave them power. That same power is available today to the church, and yet many of those that come into our services week after week, year after year, they live a life that is without the power of God to witness, to live a life that is able to live above sin, power to see miracles happen, power to cast the devil out of the possessed, power to take authority in the name of Jesus. When the disciples were commissioned to do the work of the kingdom, he gave them power and authority in his name. Still the same. Still the same today. We are commissioned to go, to work, to labor. We are commissioned by God, called, saved, born again, not just to sit on a pew, to be stagnant and stale in our worship, but to be on fire for God and to do something for the glory and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says upon their returning, Jesus continues to further teach foundational truths that apply to all believers. In Luke 9 and 23, he says unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, a theme we hear very rarely in this generation. Deny yourself. If you're going to do the work of the kingdom of God, if you're going to be a successful believer, if you're going to see signs and wonders, the very thing you must do, and all believers must do, is to learn how to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Notice this, and what he tells the disciples, for what is a man advantaged? What gain does he have if he would gain the whole world and lose himself? Imagine that, to be able to gain everything the world has to offer and yet still lose your own soul. Or to be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You see, Jesus is laying down a foundation that every one of us must stand on this evening. If we're going to follow him, we must deny ourselves. We've got to take up our cross daily. It cannot be in and out, up and down. A daily discipleship must happen for the believer to be successful. We must follow him. His will, his ways, his word. Nothing else is the direction for our life except for the master, except for his word. The Bible said it is a living word. It shines light to our path. It shows us which way to walk. It shows us how to live. His word tells us tonight who we are to be. If we're going to live for ourselves, we're going to lose our life. Young people, if we give our whole life to Jesus, we will find what real living is all about. What life everlasting really means. It tells us that the weights and balances of a person's life who gain everything the world has to offer will always come up lacking compared to an individual who may have nothing earthly of value and yet has Jesus as his or her Savior. How many individuals have you heard that have been famous that have said, I've had it all and I still felt lonely. I've had it all. I've had everything the world has to offer me and yet I still have felt myself being lost. How many individuals that have wealth and everything this world could tell you that you need to have and yet have still committed suicide, have still hurt themselves or others? Why? Because there is nothing that can be compared to the glory and the grandeur of serving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's real living. It is abundant living. It's a life of joy and adventure. Serving Jesus is what life is all about. Amen. Something happens in the life of a believer that is joyful in serving him. They find service not only wonderful, but they find service as of the uttermost importance to their life. We have not been saved and delivered from sin to sit idle, but to go, to do, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. He tells us also that if we're ashamed of Christ now, he will be ashamed of us when the return of the Lord takes place. And church, he's coming soon. It'll be too late to try and surrender then, too late to humble ourselves under his authority. Too late to say yes to the call of God. Too late to stand for Jesus and the holy word of God when others are mocking and ridiculing. It'll be too late on that day to be counted amongst the children of God. And Jesus is telling his disciples that today is the day of salvation. The kingdom of God is an all-in lifestyle. Not up and down. Not wishy-washy. Not this way on Sunday, but another way on Monday. The lifestyle of a true believer is wholehearted dedication to Jesus Christ. We're separated from the world. not in pious arrogance, but a humble worship. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. The song that Sister Hannah and Sister Hope sang tonight was the very song the youth choir sang the night I gave my life to Jesus 20 years ago at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. I'm telling you, I'm glad that Jesus brought me up when I was just a boy and He changed my life. Glory, I didn't deserve it. But He changed me. Made me a new creature in Christ. A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm not ashamed of that. I'll tell you what I'm ashamed of. I'm ashamed of what I was before I met Jesus. I'm ashamed of the life that I had before Christ. But oh, since Jesus came into my heart, I'm telling you, there's no shame there. I love Jesus Christ. And every born-again believer ought to understand when the name of Jesus is lifted up, worship rises out of your heart. When Jesus is glorified, you connect with it. Amen. And He's telling His disciples, look, if you're going to be ashamed of Me, when I return, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, beloved, can you imagine if we would live this life of serving Jesus for all that time, and then Sister Diane find a place where we were tripped up at the end, and to become cast away. Oh, the sadness. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord is trying to remind some people in this house, it is an important part of your life to make sure you know the direction you're heading in. Where you're looking is the direction of where you're living. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, my aim is that we would have young people and adults and elders that would be reminded that who we are is as important today as it will be upon that day He returns. For the day that we live right now is what we'll build our tomorrow on. We must be ready for the return of Jesus, and that starts today. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us to be ready. Every young person here, please listen to me. You've got to be aware that what you're looking at in the direction of your life is where your feet will follow. You see things around us, and I'm not so far removed from my teen years to not remember what it was like when those temptations were so strong. That you didn't know if you were actually going to be able to say no. You didn't know if you were going to be able to do what was right. There was a fear there that maybe I'll be the next one to stumble. But can I tell you tonight, the Lord has given me this word for you to be reminded. If He's put His will into your life and the blood upon your heart, He's got His hand on your life and you've got your hand on the plow. Stay focused on what He's called you to do. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Stay with Jesus. Follow Him. Matthew Henry said, those who begin with the work of God must resolve to go on, or they will make nothing of it. Looking back leads to drawing back, and drawing back is to perdition or destruction. He only that endures to the end shall be saved. Looking back leads to drawing back. And drawing back leads to destruction. And you've been in services long enough to see when the effects of those that are looking back starts to take root. You see it in worship. You see it in a lack of prayer. You see it in their lifestyle changes. Brother Brian, are you judging? No, I'm telling you, friend, tonight the Lord wants you to know He sees it too. And He doesn't want that end for your life. So much of God has been given to us in this day and hour. So much word has been taught to us. So many moves of the Spirit that we have been witness to. And yet, there are still those whose eyes and focus and spiritual desire has waned to the point of turning their attention away from the goals that God has set for them. Jesus concludes this chapter with a verse we read at the beginning. It's a parable-esque example to illustrate how important it is for the Christian to know what direction they're heading in and what their life's focus is about. verse 62, Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No one who's working with a plow can at the same time be looking backwards and profitable at what he's doing. Now, this example may not necessarily apply, because I highly doubt many of our youth have ever used a plow followed behind some horses or oxen or donkeys, right? So it's kind of a different example. Our farming equipment today is satellite driven. All you got to do is start it up and make sure you're in the right field. Let the satellite do the rest. It'll drive it, plant the seed, give it all the nutrients it needs. So this example, this parable, doesn't necessarily relate exactly. But it's not that hard to understand. When you're planting a garden or sowing in a field, you have a starting place. The moment where you must begin if you're going to see a harvest. Right? And then you have an end, a goal in mind. And so before you can ever till up land or get the seed in the ground, you've got to stake out a place for your eyes to look at so you know where you're heading. Because if you're trying to do it on your own, I promise you, you're going to start here and your row's going to look about like this. It's like mowing the grass. If any of you got a riding lawnmower, my dad told me from the youngest of age, you put the wheel on the last line you cut and follow that line. I tried to do it as fast as I could, and it looked like a shaky hand barber had cut, you know, haircut. It was just bad. Patches everywhere. Son, you got to slow down. Keep your eyes focused on the line, because if you don't, you're going to get off track. And young people, in this life, there is an end mark that we're looking at. It's the kingdom of God. It's heaven. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews specifically, looking unto Jesus, the author, that's the starting point, and the finisher, that's the end of our faith. When our eyes are set upon Jesus, all of a sudden we find that where in our own strength we would go this way or that way, we have stability, we have consistency, we have a true loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we must understand tonight that if you're going to make it, then Jesus has to be your sole focus. Are you hearing me tonight? Yeah, but I feel. No, your feelings are not your end point. Yeah, but you know, I just don't want. No, it's not what we want. What is the will of God for your life? Serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. Serving Him today is the will of God. Oh, but Brother Brian, you don't know what I did before. No, serving God today is the will of God. Oh, but I'm afraid of what tomorrow's going to bring. No, today we'll handle today. Serve Him today. That's the mark that we're aiming for. I want to talk to us about some things that looking back will do in our lives. Looking back. Looking back signifies longing. For other things, longing for other things than what a Christian should have or should want. I've heard people that have given their heart to the Lord and later tell me all the regrets they've had to give up in serving Him. Oh, Brian, it was when we were out partying. I don't get to do that anymore. Man, when I was hanging with my friends every night and getting drunk and high, and I've heard them tell that. It's not long, Brother Heath, until the regrets begin to take over. Listen, I don't regret giving up anything for Jesus. It's the best decision I ever made in my life. And when we begin to look back, it signifies a longing for something that we feel we are missing out on. I'm missing out on a relationship. I'm missing out on financial gain. I'm missing out on this and that. I'm longing for something else that I'm supposing I'm not finding in Jesus. And so I begin to look. I want us to also note something tonight. The Bible did not say that that individual took his hand off the plow. He was still holding on. And yet his attention was elsewhere. We have countless people in the American church today who have sat in a pew service after service, have sang the same songs, lifted their hands, worshiped, done everything that seemed ritualistic, and yet their heart is so far away from where God would actually intend them to be because they have their hand on the plow, but their love and affection is elsewhere. They've become accustomed to the life of a Christian, but not the lifestyle of a Christian. And I'm telling you tonight, that life will kill you. It'll drain your life. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will cleave to one and despise the other. Secondly, looking back is evident to those around you. It's evident to your peers. It's evident to other believers. You know, if you were to drive by a field where somebody was just, you know, I can imagine today there has to have been some farmer who has not yet upgraded to the latest tractor and put their teenage boy out on the tractor, and they've been on YouTube or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and the dad comes out and, you know, the field is just all over the place. It's got to have happened at least once, right? So, I mean, I know how you are with texting and driving, let alone, you know, trying to plant a field. So it's got to have happened. And people can see when that happens. You know, you can't, going back to what I was talking about with my dad and mowing the grass, you can't hide a bad cut. I'll never forget, Brother Zane Estes came to visit one time and preach. And he was wearing a ball cap. And if you know Brother Zane, that is not his style at all. And we're talking, and it had been a little while, you know, we're fellowshipping. And finally, I had to ask him, I said, you know, Zane, what's up with the ball cap? And he takes it off and shows me where he was getting a haircut before he came to visit, and somebody got distracted or whatever was going on and took it all the way to the skin. A patch just gone. A ball cap that didn't match, I guess, was better than a patch that didn't match. You know what I mean? It's evident. It's hard to hide. And same is true for the life of a believer. When changes start happening, you may not even be able to put your finger on it, Pastor. But man, I noticed so-and-so wasn't worshiping the same way they used to worship. And you may not have anything on them. It's not about trying to find out dirt. It's just concern. You see something's missing and you're like, man, you know, I haven't seen him in the prayer room for a little while. And they're not in ministry anymore. And they're not showing up. What is going on? Something is missing. I can tell you what's happening. Their hands on the plow, but their eyes and their attention is elsewhere. And oh, how sad it is when you as a believer sense that things are changing in somebody's life in a negative way. And I'm not saying that to belittle anybody. I've had my fair share of struggles. And those seasons of coldness are hard times. I know what it feels like. But I also know what it feels like to have a brother in Christ come and put his arm around me and say, son, I don't know what's going on and I don't need the details, but I sure am praying for you, and you're going to make it, and God cares about you, and you need to get back up and walk again. You need to keep moving forward, son. It's a beautiful thing when somebody that cares about your soul loves you enough to let you know that your plow's getting messed up, your line's crooked. And the Holy Spirit has a way of getting a hold of people and letting them know that things are not right. Sin has a way of messing up the way we're living and where we're heading. And tonight I'd like to warn you, if your line is not measured towards Christ, would you refocus your heart back to the Lord and let Him work in your life again? I can't tell you the memories, Brother Bill, that I have over and over again of young people at camp who've been lost in the Spirit and responding in worship and have wept around these altars, and I've seen it and I knew it was real only to see him struggling. I just want to come behind him and tell him God loves you. He cares for you. He knows the struggles. He sees the hard times. He knows the temptations, and He wants to help you make it. You see, God is not calling us to ministry only to abandon us. He's calling us to ministry, calling us to serve Him, and walking with us all the way. You're not in this life alone. But I tell you, if you push Him away, it's going to be a hard thing to live. Lastly tonight, looking back, it does make us unfit for the kingdom. I thought about how in our generation right now, we're in a very politically correct society. And nobody wants to hurt feelings. And I don't think you should be malicious. I'm not saying that. We're on eggshells all the time right now. Think about how this message would apply in most churches today. If you are not focused on Jesus Christ only, you are unfit for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's true. If you're looking back, you are unfit for the kingdom of God. You know why the Lord was so honest? It's because He knew there's going to be people that followed after that day who may have good intentions but find themselves looking in another direction. And He didn't want them to be confused about where they stood in light of eternity. And so He was honest enough to tell us these are the expectations that the Lord has for His followers. All of your heart or none of it. All of your attention or none of it. All of your dreams or none of them. It's My will. It's My way. It's My desires for you that's important. You know, God has some great things in store for your life. And young people, I tell you, and adults alike, if we'll live for our own life and our own ambitions, we'll die in our own life and our own ambitions. But if we'll live for the Lord, serve Him all the days of our lives, there's no telling where God will take you. There's no telling where God will lead you. There's no telling the adventures that you'll have and the places that God will use you if you'll only surrender and say yes to Him. I want to close with this. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. James says something very important here. Do not err. Do not err, my beloved brethren. What does that mean, do not err? It means don't put yourself in a position of compromise. Don't even allow yourself to get to the place where you have to make a decision. Do I hold my convictions or do I follow my feelings? Don't allow yourself to be put in a place where you are questioning what God told you at the altar. Don't allow yourself to listen to the words of the enemy more than the words of the Lord. Do not err, my beloved brethren. It's that vital for your soul. If we can have the music come tonight, it's His passions instead of my passions. It's yes to the plow, yes to the calling, yes to the work that He has for us to do. A yes. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not, Galatians tells us. There's two men in the same story that gives us the most beautiful example of what happens when you choose different ways of living. It was an uncle and a nephew, Abraham and Lot. And they were working together, and Abraham had taken Lot under his wing and had raised him, and now they're both very successful men, and they've got too much wealth and they don't have enough room, and so their workers are fighting each other, and they come together and say, look, we can't we can't be living together anymore. It's just too much. And Abraham gives Lot a choice. He said, you know, and he didn't have to. He's the older one. Abraham had every right to take direction of his own will and then give Lot the leftovers. But he says to Lot, you choose where you want to go, and I'll take what's left. The Bible says in Genesis 13 and 10, Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom, notice this, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot saw all of the benefits of the land, and he completely ignored all of the things that came with the blessing. I have seen people time and again tell me, I'm going to take that job. It pays more. But you have to miss church every week. I'm going to leave and go do this and that. Yeah, but you have to compromise in this area of your life. I'm going to do my own thing. Why is our own thing always the same thing the enemy wants for us? You see, Lot could have looked and seen the characters of individuals he was going to be associating with and said, you know, it might look a little bit better over there, but for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. But he didn't. And because he saw what he thought was good, he followed it toward the destruction of his household. Because it's not very long after this that God's judgment rains down on those wicked men. And Lot's wife, what does she do? She looked back. And what would have happened if Lot would have never put her in the place where she had to look back? Your choices are going to affect more than just you tonight. They're going to affect your friends. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect those that God would help you to lead, to save, to use you to get a hold of somebody in the future. How you choose tonight is going to have a profound effect upon what happens after this. But Abraham was there that day too. I want to tell you what Abraham did. He dwelled in Canaan. And his hand was on the plow. Hallelujah. But his eyes were steadfast ahead, looking towards another country. Hebrews 11 tells us what he was looking at. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Number one rule, follow me. All right, he obeyed. Hallelujah. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What was he looking for? He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Brother Brad, he knew what he was looking for, even when he didn't know it was right in front of him. He had no idea. He just would wake up and say, Lord, where am I going today? And God would direct him. But all the while, his heart was telling him, you're going towards me. You're following me. Follow me, Abraham. There's a heavenly city that you don't know yet. You haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. And the same applies to every believer tonight. There's a lot of things we can look at. There's a lot of attractions that are available to you tonight, but none of them will compare to the glorious hour when the Lord returns, takes his bride home, and we see Jesus face to face when we reach that heavenly city. And all of a sudden, every time we said no to the flesh, it was worth it. And every time we stayed steady in the house of God, it was worth it. Faithful to the calling, faithful to the ministry, faithful to God, it'll be worth it. Oh, hallelujah. Said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed we're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's the key. The goal is heaven. Amen. The plow is the ministry. It's the work of the believer. And our focus tonight is Jesus. Amen. I like to just keep my hand on the plow and keep my attention on the Lord. Brother Aaron, I want to make it to heaven. I want my children to make it. I want my family to make it. I want our church to make it. I'm so discouraged by how many people in this hour are changing in this last season. And all the things they know that God has done in their lives, and yet forgetting it for that brief moment, causing their attention to focus on something other than Jesus. If you're here tonight, or you're listening online, can I beg you tonight, get your focus back on the Lord. Return your eyes upon Jesus. Let those things go that seem so alluring. Give it to the Lord. Let Him remind you of what it was like when He first saved you. What it was like when you first gave your burdens to Him. Life is hard. I understand that. Things are not always easy. But God knows that too. That's why He told us in His Word, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He wants you to know tonight, you're not walking this alone. If you would stand tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to ask you for honesty. It's between you and the Lord. I don't know your heart. I don't know. I just know what the Lord has been burdened my spirit with. If you're here tonight and you're struggling, you just admit, I'm struggling. My feelings aren't there. My passion's gone. It's not the same as it was. I'm just struggling. Can I invite you to find a place around this altar? Or at home or wherever you are. And just find a place where you return to that place of sacrifice. You know, a few weeks ago I found myself praying, Lord, lay me on that altar again. Not my will, but Thy will be done, Lord. Help me to take up my cross today and follow again after You. Is that where you are tonight? You just say, I need the Lord to refresh, revive, refill, or resave me. You know, I'm in a place, I'm not even pushing now. I'm just in my own thing. I need the Lord to save me. If that's where you are, I'd like to invite the church to come and pray. And that's where you are. I want you to come and surrender that to the Lord at this altar, all across the house. I want us to come and find a place to pray. If you need salvation, if you need rededicated, I want you to come with these that are coming. Surrender your life again. Don't just come and kneel quietly and not pray. Come and find a place to pray. Even in the midst of coming to an altar, we can get in a routine where we just go back to our place and pray again. And oh, don't do that. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Pour your life out to the Lord. Oh, won't you just give Him those hurts? Won't you give Him that brokenness? Won't you give Him those moments where you just don't feel like worshiping anymore? Won't you give Him that coldness? Won't you give it back to Him? Surrender that. Oh, heaven's just around the corner, church. Eternity is just around the corner. I want to be ready. And when He comes, I want Him to find me being faithful. Oh, I want to be faithful. Oh, I want to be faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be faithful, Lord. Hallelujah. You might even have your hand still on the plow, but your attention and your focus is not on where it should be. You're still coming to church. You're still doing things in body, but your spirit is so distant. Oh, the Lord wants to revive that tonight. Revive your love. Revive your worship. Sarabakor elalabasiri.